Despite official denials by leaders of the free world, sources now confirm the existence of zombie takeout. Welcome to episode 46 of Zombie Takeout. The B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scott O.
And this week, the movie is actually a request. This one was requested by John Phillips in the Facebook group.
Thank you, John.
And it is from 1982, Megaforce.
A movie, wow. I mean, you know, I never put two and two together until I was doing the research after watching the movie, and I saw on the IMDb, like the chat boards, someone mentioned the line, deeds, not words. I never realized, I had this video game for the Atari 2600.
Wow.
When I was a kid, and I don't think I ever realized there was a movie connected to it.
I remember the toys when I was a kid. In fact, there was another movie that also had toys out. Very similar dune buggies, but they were tan and black. I had one of the black ones, like Matchbox style.
I
don't
think I remember those. I don't remember the movie either.
Yeah, I don't remember which movie that was. Anyway.
I had this video game, and it had that line on like the cover of the game.
Oh.
And I was always kind of like, where, you know, what did they mean by that? Where does that even come from? So I watched this movie. And then it wasn't until I went to the board where I didn't even catch that line in the movie.
No.
Oh, well. So, I guess that means
it's time for Scotto's impromptu plot summary, brought to us by
Second Skin Spandex. Uniforms so tight, you won't just be fighting the bad guys, you'll be fighting wedgies. Also, makers of Second Skin headbands. Oh, the 80s. So, by plot summary for this isn't particularly long. I believe it's not very impromptu either. I thought of this as soon as I finished watching the movie.
And for once you get an easy one.
Yeah. That was the longest episode of Hogan's Heroes I've ever seen.
Yeah?
Now, alright, let me explain a little. There were two plots to Hogan's Heroes. Right? They had to blow up something in Germany.
Right.
Or they had to pull some sort of con job on the German army.
Right.
Of course, this, and sometimes they combine the two into one episode, but those are the two plots. So I thought that's all I thought after watching the movie, and then doing the research, I look at the writers of this movie, and sure enough, there is a man named Albert S. Ruddy who wrote the screenplay, who also wrote, or had a hand in writing, or co-wrote, every single Hogan's Heroes.
Wow. See, his name jumped out at me, but I didn't know why. Maybe I remember it from the credits of Hogan's Heroes.
I mean, you put Robert Crane, you make him grow a beard and dye his hair blonde,
yeah,
and he is Hunter.
Give Richard Dawson a southern accent.
Well, right. That's true. He was the only person missing was Richard Dawson. And you're right. That was him, only with a southern accent instead. And then, of course, you had LeBeau. You had the French guy.
Right.
You had Kinch, who was quoting Shakespeare and just driving. And
yeah.
Then they threw in a Japanese and a Mexican guy.
Well, yeah, multiculturalism.
Right. I mean, they didn't fight on the Allies' side, so they weren't in Hogan's Heroes. So. But yeah. That is the plot summary.
Now, this features a couple of actors who we've talked about in the past. In our first two episodes.
Right. Am I the only person that when you see Barry Bostwick's name on the screen, you just want to yell asshole?
Oddly enough, even though I was the one who had the better opinion of Rocky, I now go to Spin City.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
I see Barry Bostwick's name on the screen, and I want to shout asshole.
But I gotta admit, he was really good in this one.
Well.
For him.
Oh.
very nuanced performance, because I'm used to him being just a comedian. You don't agree. Well, I think we can agree Beck wasn't much better than in The Warriors.
No, no. It was nice to see him going from, you know, having that concerned look on his face to just cracking some lame jokes. See, that's the thing. Hogan's Heroes, you didn't tune in for the action or anything like that. You tuned in for the jokes.
Yeah, of course.
And if you don't write good jokes for this movie, it doesn't work.
No. I mean, just as a point to Hogan's Heroes, you know, I haven't seen an episode in probably 25 years. I still occasionally reference I See Nothing, I Know Nothing.
Right. Right. And I mean, and there's a whole that play between the good guys and the bad guys like there is in Hogan's Heroes, you know. The Guerrero guy, they treat like Colonel Klink in a way.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And to meet him up with him and just kind of talk with him and then go back to your separate corners like it's a boxing match instead of a war.
And I got to say, Henry Silva, I think that's his name,
his
performance was probably just about as good as Werner Klemperer's. He definitely gets the Shatner Award in this one.
My favorite, the guy from Knight Rider.
Oh, yes. This also features, I was going to bring that up, Edward Mulhare, best known for Knight Rider, did a lot of TV work in the 80s.
So this is when I had to start writing notes, and the first note I wrote was, at first I thought the British dude was the guy from Knight Rider. Then I realized he was C-3PO after he said, "This is simply preposterous."
He's always kind of struck me as the poor man's Michael Caine.
But, you know, Knight Rider, he was so smooth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of cool in Knight Rider, if you think about it. He's just an old guy, but, you know, he didn't have embarrassing acting moments from what I remember.
Not really. Not,
you know, not,
no more than anybody else in the show because they were in the show.
Right. Well, you know, Hasselhoff is Hasselhoff.
Yeah, yeah.
He is an embarrassing acting moment from being start to finish. But he was cool in it. In this, oh. He should have just worn a C-3PO suit.
Yeah, yeah. And also, one final acting note, one notable actor, I should say, Persis Cambada, best known as the bald chick from Star Trek the movie.
Yes. Yes, who, I mean, you know, I was, wow, she looks familiar and everything. And then I saw all that about her. I bet she died way young and everything,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Weird. But this is kind of a geek all-star cast, in
mm-hmm.
a way.
Yeah. Particularly an 80s geek all-star cast.
You know, we get Michael Beck from The Warriors, mm-hmm. Barry Bostwick from Rocky, and, of course, Knight Rider. Henry Silva really hasn't done anything.
I think the only thing I've ever seen him in, aside from this, is Amazon Women on the Moon, and I was, of course, expecting him at any given time to say bullshit or not.
That was him!
Yeah, that was the bullshit or not.
Oh, wow. Time. Okay. He's way better in Amazon Women.
Yeah.
What a cast. The director, of course, needs to be noted. Hal Needham, most notable for directing the Burt Reynolds car movies like Smokey and the Bandit.
Okay.
And which the scene with the motorcycles mm-hmm. and the dust, pretty much redid shot for shot in Smokey and the Bandit 2
mm-hmm.
with all of the cars going across the desert and creating the smoke,
uh-huh.
or, you know, kicked up sand.
Yeah. Clouds. Well, I think those were smoke bombs because it was colored smoke.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Whenever the shot was done, pretty much frame for frame.
Okay.
Two or three, I don't know what they were up to even.
And that explains why they pretty much blew the entire budget on the vehicle action scenes.
Well, yeah, really the greatest actors in this are the stunt people. Who Hal Needham, of course, was a stunt guy himself. He's way more notable as a stuntman and did a lot of the stunt work for Burt Reynolds than actually directing and writing. Why did this have five writers? Five writers, and none of them could find dramatic tension or conflict between any of them. Really? Five writers? Get watch this movie. You know, if this were just like a couple college guys that put this together, mm-hmm. you'd be, wow, you know, not bad. But the fact that you had five writers, and some of them were professional writers, like that Albert Ruddy guy who'd been writing for decades.
Yeah.
And there is no tension to this or conflict in this movie.
Oh, no. It is straight up action comedy. It's the Cannonball Run movies. It's, you know.
But they couldn't write good jokes either.
Oh, yeah, true.
But you see, the Cannonball
Run
movies.
There is one good joke, which we took our title from, but.
The Cannonball Run movies, you're going to tune in for the humor, too, because
yeah.
they were funny.
Well, that's also a casting issue.
The Smokey and the Bandit movie, you know, the first one, you know, there were some great jokes in that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But this, oof, there were a lot of groaners.
Yeah, but I don't speaking for myself, I enjoyed the groaners. You know, I kind of knew, as soon as that theme music kicked in, that early 80s pseudo-disco, I knew exactly what I was in for.
All I could think of was Hawk the Slayer.
Exactly. And I enjoyed this in very much the same way as Hawk the Slayer. Yes, it was cheesy. Yes, it was very wrong in a lot of ways, but it was just fun.
I mean, but lines are like more degrees than a red hot thermometer and general consensus. Oh, man.
And it surprises me that you didn't like the bad jokes.
Oh, I mean, there were some. you know what? I think the unintentionally funny things really, I enjoyed a lot more than the things that were trying to be funny in this.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Like, once Barry Bostwick showed up, you know, with that stupid entrance of the motorcycle jumping mm-hmm. over and then pulling the wheelie,
yeah.
which oddly enough, if you look closely enough, you could see Barry Bostwick doesn't have a beard when he's pulling the wheelie.
No.
He gets off and...
And just how unnaturally the bike stays in that position, even though nobody could hold it like that.
But that outfit and the hair... And the headband.
Think very early 80s, just pre-hair metal.
You know, it wasn't even the spandex outfit that really got me. It was the second blue jumpsuit outfit. I had to pause the movie. I was laughing so hard.
The one with the ascot?
Yes. Yes. It was Austin Powers.
Yes.
He was in this blue jumpsuit with like a little red flap kind of buttoned over. And for some reason... His blue ascot or whatever was a lot more ruffly than everybody
yeah.
else's.
I don't think it was actually intended to be an ascot, but it just, because it was so ruffly, it looked like one.
Right. Everybody else, they kind of wore theirs tightly. You know, he had this ruffle thing going. And with the poofed up hair, all I wanted were the big glasses on him and the bad teeth.
Yeah. And the character was actually very Austin Powers.
Yes. Yes, he was.
Now, one other point. Actually, onto one of the things I didn't so much enjoy about the movie.
What?
Is it just me, or did this movie have more, just as many, if not more, traveling scenes than The Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, even the battle scenes.
They were
really
always going
scenes.
Somewhere. Too bad the plot wasn't always going somewhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, what I was getting at with my impromptu plots, there was no plot. It was Hogan's Heroes where they were going to go blow up this installation for some reason. I'm not even sure what the plan was. They were going to blow up the installation. They were somehow going to get chased by
Guerrera.
And then they were going to get him
lead him across the border and then can take him into custody. Yeah.
Right. And then when they were there... For some reason, it was revealed that they were there, and they couldn't have any acknowledgement nor cross over the border or anything like that, so they were on their own.
The phrase is deus ex machina.
Yeah.
That phone call came completely out of nowhere. The phone, you know, because Mulhair just picks up the phone, he gets this unfortunate news, and then you find out they can't come home.
Right. So, how did they explain them getting there?
Yeah.
It's just like having machine guns on the side of your buggy where the tires can get in mm-hmm. front of them and
yeah.
shoot your own tires out.
Yeah. But Who cares about physics?
Pshaw.
Pshaw, yeah, exactly. I was going for that, but I wasn't quite sure. So just imagine really good vehicular action. For the time, really good. And lots of driving, lots of going places, never quite getting there. And then Barry Boswick, incredibly early 80s, decked out whispering a lot.
Yeah.
Because he did a lot of whispering, too.
Now,
I found myself riding the volume.
Me too. That's probably why I didn't miss the deeds, not words. Because
mm-hmm.
he probably said it too low.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like a wheel. It always comes around.
Everything's on the wheel. Have you ever heard that phrase before? I haven't. He said it like it's a cliche.
Yeah.
Now, the one other thing, I'm surprised you didn't bring this up.
What?
Towards the end of the movie, when they were, breaking out of whichever country they were in.
Yeah, whatever.
Trying to get out. Were you occasionally reminded of a certain Mike and the Mechanics song? I wish Misty had done this just so they could, break out into the song Silent Running every time they said Silent Running.
Oh, as much as I like you, old Mike and the Mechanics, I couldn't say I thought of it. I
couldn't resist, humming that or kind of playing it in my head every time I heard the phrase.
It's more of a submarine thing than a...
Well, I know. They didn't come up with it. It just reminded me of the song.
But no, I wasn't thinking that. But no, all I was thinking of is, how come those tanks can't hit those planes?
Because the good guys will always win, even in the 80s.
Yeah. Did you watch the credits at the end?
I kind of jumped through them. Didn't really pay much attention.
Now, Hal Needham, when you see his other movies, the credits are usually... You usually should watch a Hal Needham credit roll.
Okay.
Because normally... He puts the bloopers on at the end.
Okay, I kind of skimmed through that, but I didn't notice any. Were there bloopers?
No.
Okay. Thought I'd miss something.
No. This, you get to see all of the awesome green screen shots that apparently cost them a lot of money in the first place.
Except for that last one.
Oh, my God.
The flying bike. Worst green screen ever.
It has to be. It has to be the worst green screen ever. Oh, my God.
Okay, the scenes in the first Star Wars New Hope when you can actually see the line around the TIE fighters?
Yeah.
This was worse.
Oh, this was much worse. It reminded me of those old movies when they were driving the car,
mm-hmm.
and how they'd have the background film going.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes, if you watch closely enough, the background would still be moving even
and they still do that.
Stopped and get out of the car.
Yeah.
Yes, they still, that is really sad. But yes, they still do that.
Okay, so I got a little bit of trivia on this one. In the DVD introduction to the Season 2 South Park episode, The Mexican Staring Frog of Southern Sri Lanka, that was a long time, Trey Parker graphically describes Megaforce as if it were the plot of the episode. Then Stone stops him mid-sentence and reminds him that it's actually Megaforce. A disappointed Parker remembers and says, yeah, we should have done Megaforce. That was a sweet movie. We should have done that. Also, in their film...
AKA the Cherokee hair tampon.
Their film Team America World Police, there are a number of parent references to film. I have to see Team America again.
Yeah, me too. That's all I was thinking of every time I saw, while I was watching this.
Oh, yeah, the plot is basically this. This is where they rip the idea off of, pretty much.
Well, there's a series called The Thunderbirds were parodying.
Well, specifically, that's why they did the puppets and all that. But also, the producers approached military officials for cooperation in the design of the vehicles used in the battle scenes. The officials refused, but when the film was released, those same officials were so impressed with the vehicles, they asked the producers for the plans. So they wanted to make them more realistic. They couldn't do that. They went wherever they wanted to, and the military decided, oh, okay, those are better than what we have.
Bottle rocket missiles.
So I think it's on to sequels and remakes?
I believe so. sequels, of course, they had something set up there, hoping that this was going to be...
A sequel was planned, titled Deeds Not Words. That's the only reason I knew where you were going when you said that. But it was scrapped due to the poor performance of the original film.
Really? This didn't sell?
Even in the 80s, no.
You know, that's where I was going with the credits. At the very end of the credits, they felt that line was so strong that they played that at the very end.
The good guys still win, even in the 80s?
Yes,
In
the 80s.
Wow.
A little shy from the glint in the eye or whatever, you know? I mean, or the teeth or whatever you want to put it with. That dumb smile.
Wow. However, I do think this has tremendous potential for a remake.
Sadly, yeah. And I know exactly who I'd cast in this.
I've got a couple in mind. Who are you thinking?
I think, without a doubt, Commander Ace Hunter needs to be played by Will Ferrell.
Okay, I was going a little more serious with mine, but okay, yeah, I see if you're going comedic, yes. Definitely.
I felt I was watching Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
serious, huh?
You know me, I always want to do a serious version.
A serious version of this.
Yeah, update it. I mean, not dead serious. I mean, keep the humor, rewrite, put some better jokes in.
Only if you're talking Yahoo serious as the lead could I say this could be a serious movie.
No, I see, you know, just do a real action movie. And I hate this to call this guy out because I am not in any way, shape, or form a fan of De Niro? No, I'm not seeing De Niro.
No.
Maybe as the general. Mulhare's character.
I put shag carpeting in air conditioning.
But for Hunter,
Andrew Dice Clay.
Okay.
Carrot Top.
You done?
Hopkins.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you had to go there.
Yes, now I'm done.
In all seriousness, and I'm not in no way, shape, or form a fan of this guy, but Ace Hunter, if you're going, you know, more serious remake, Matthew McConaughey.
Oh! Wow.
He's perfect for it.
Yes, he is. He could do this. He could still make this a comedy and have Matthew
McConaughey. I'm not saying dead serious. Keep it kind of a fun, you know, comedy action thing. Actually play it up more as more comedy.
And I think Dallas should be played by Michael Beck.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who I would give Dallas to. Who would be a good sidekick?
I don't know either.
Yeah.
we don't have a poster Southern boy anywhere.
No, aside from McConaughey, and he's already Hunter.
Right. They probably put McConaughey as Dallas.
Well, if he was
like,
yeah,
Tom Cruise as Bostwick,
oh,
you're
God.
As Hunter.
Oh God. Or actually, Downey Jr. might work as Hunter.
Yeah, it'd be awesome if they did remake this and then not change the line. Like, the good guys don't win
even in the 80s. Well,
It's just like, but it's 2010. Oh.
So, okay, I guess it's on to ratings. Brains.
Yes. Well, when I saw the art, you know, the cover art for the movie and everything. And I saw Barry Bostwick. For some reason, I was thinking musical.
Yeah, he's done quite a few.
I found myself about...
And the costumes would give you that idea.
Right. I mean, that golden spandex.
Yeah.
And then that weird silver dress that Persis Kambata is wearing in that. Ever wears in the film. It had me about 15, 20 minutes into the movie wishing...
It had been a musical.
It was a musical. I was thinking, Hal Needham directing a musical. That's an interesting concept. Also, we'll probably be doing more Hal Needham's movies in the future.
Yeah,
like,
most likely.
This will be the last time you hear from him. But I'm going to give it... I was going to give it a brain for his outfit and a brain for his hair, but I did have a good time watching this still. So I'm going to stick with my two brains.
Okay.
Because it was fun to see and just laugh at the absurdities of this, like the skydiving scene.
Yeah, that was...
Like, what on earth What's that?
Unnecessary romantic attachment. That was in
lieu of the love scene of them getting it on.
Yes.
Instead, they train together.
That was Hal Needham's version of the pottery scene from Ghost.
Yes. They're skydiving for some reason, you know, to prove that she's worthy of going on this mission or whatever, and then inexplicably they decide for her not to go on the mission.
Mm.
And then in the end, where she could have joined them to help them get out, she still doesn't go with them.
No.
So what was the point of all that? So I'm sticking with my two brains, yes.
I liked it a lot more than you did. Yeah, it's stupid, and yes, it's predictable, and yes, the costumes are hilarious. But I had a lot of fun with it. I'm going 4.
4. Well, you know who I felt the worst for in this whole movie, honestly? The guys who had to write and sing lyrics to a song called Megaforce.
You know, that caught my attention, because I've heard that song before, and I've never seen this movie. Maybe it was in Team America, I don't recall, I don't know, but I heard it before.
The South Park guys would probably use something like that.
Yeah.
The video game, I remember you had to blow up some buildings that looked like the Kremlin. You're riding your motorcycle, missile-firing motorcycle in the desert and stuff.
Probably more fun than the movie.
It was, actually. It was more fun than the movie.
And so, what have we learned?
We learned that if you wear the right outfits, people can tell what religion you are. Thanks, Robin Williams.
And I learned that ain't nobody got a rank in Megaforce. So, until next week, go to zombietakeout.com, comment, rate the movies, take the poll. Of course, we've got the album art in the episode description and, you know, yada yada there. So until next week, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
are. There you are.
Oh, listen, I just wanted to say goodbye and remind you that the good guys always win, even in the 80s.
Okay.
Carrot Top.
You done?
Hopkins.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you had to go there.